Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we have Alabama head coach Nate Oates. Preview of the Sweet 16 this weekend. NBA trade deadline, tons of action, and Firefest of the week because it is a Friday.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started.
I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy.
Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by Bacardi Limited. Go check them out right now and use code WATCHWITHBACARDI. Get $5 off your purchase, courtesy of Drizzly. Today is Friday, March 26th. And the NBA trade line has happened. Ready for this, PFT? Ready for this Big J sentence that I'm going to use? Ready?
This league.
No, not this league. This league. Or as Adam Schefter said, NBA trade deadline is fire emoji. And that was the end of emojis forever. But I was going to say, an unbelievable trade deadline, but the biggest trade that happened didn't happen. Kyle Lowry's still a Raptor.
Mm-hmm.
That's whenever there's not the big blockbuster. They're like, you know what the biggest trade was? The Raptors kept Kyle Lowry.
That's right, yeah. And did you see that Drake got on FaceTime with Kyle Lowry last night?
There you go.
After the game, my guy Drake. I've been listening to some Drake recently. I'm starting to come around on this guy. I think he might be the future of rap. So keep your eye on this young little buck.
You realize that take was just terrible?
What?
That Drake sucks?
It might have been one of my worst takes. Not my stronger one.
I'm coming around on him.
I'm reserving the right to still think that Drake is corny.
That's fine.
But his
songs are awesome.
I think he might.
Yes.
He might have some talent in
his songs go, as the kids say.
He's growing as an artist.
What do you say, Hank?
More hits than the Beatles.
Than the Beatles.
Bigger than Jesus.
Fact. Yeah.
But there were some big moves. Obviously, your Bulls got better, right?
The Bulls got a lot better. The Bulls basically took the entire Garpax regime and threw it in the trash can today, which was awesome. Vucevic coming to Chicago for Wendell Carter Jr. and two protected first-round picks. There's nothing worse than the fans out there that just want to hold on to all the picks forever instead, like
assets.
If it was a trade for just a random guy, I'd understand it. But like Vooch he's an all-star, two-time all-star. He's perfect for Zach LaVine. The Bulls are finally saying, hey, instead of let's just be middling all the time and end up with the seventh or eighth pick that means nothing, maybe we put someone around Zach LaVine that can actually bring the best out of him and go for the playoffs. And I'm all in. I'm sick of missing the playoffs and getting the seventh pick and getting a guy that we have to wait on and hope is good. And the NBA, if you don't have the first or second, maybe you could throw in the third pick. You're kind of in a crapshoot.
Yeah, it's Buddy Boeheim no matter what,
in the
words of Kevin Costner in Draft Day. So the NBA is a little bit different from the NFL because, like, in the NFL, like we talked about, you make the playoffs, you get that extra week, you get to read the articles, all that stuff. In the NBA, unless you're, like, one of the top two or three teams in your conference, it's like, well, we might as well not have made the playoffs.
Well, but all right, so here's the counterpoint to that and what the Bulls are doing, and I actually am fully in support of it. If you want to eventually be a team that can win in the playoffs, you have to make the playoffs. You have to have a culture of, hey, we're trying to compete, and then maybe some guys, some veterans, some free agents can see that franchise as a destination like, ooh, I maybe want to go there. There's two All-Stars there.
You know what
Instead
you need.
Of saying like, oh, let's just keep losing and hope that we get the number one pick luckily somehow. Like eventually you have to put your foot in the sand and say, we're going one way or the other. And I'm happy they're actually, because Zach LaVine is too good for them to tank.
You know what you have to do? You have to build a foundation. You have to have a solid foundation, then be like, they're a couple nice pieces away from contending. And
yeah.
then you get the pieces after that.
I'm excited.
I'm a little bit bummed out about our Magic, mm-hmm. our Orlando
well,
Magic.
They're fully tanking, which they're doing the opposite.
They're big sellers right now. That was a wild week that we had, like, 6 months ago where the Orlando Magic was punching way above because nobody liked them.
Yeah.
And they played like two nice games, I think.
Yeah. They traded Aaron Gordon to the Nuggets, who are I love what the Nuggets are doing. The Nuggets are basically saying, hey, we're gonna try to win a title.
Mm-hmm.
They traded Vooch to the Bulls, and then the Celtics got Evan Fournier, who he did the classic Google my name, and everyone Googled it, and it's a terrible disease on your dick and scrotum.
Really?
Yeah, his
Wait,
last
Fournier?
Name. Yeah.
Gangrene.
Yeah, if you Google it.
Is it only on your dick and scrotum?
I think so. Look, Google it. Google's last name.
It would be a great name for LaMelo Balls.
Yeah, it's something else. It's quite something.
Fournier.
I feel like this is another year, though, where it's the Celtics did the non-trades. Everyone was expecting trades.
Oh!
Yeah, it's bad.
Nothing happened.
It's very bad. He did it. He tweeted it. Yeah, it's very bad.
That's worse than a blue waffle.
You traded Daniel... I'm going to keep calling him Theus. Is that okay?
Theis.
But why? If his name's Theis, then spell it like a real football guy like Mike Theis. Okay? German for German trade, though.
Yeah, Theis. He's good. Mo Wagner, Ivan Wagner, whatever. See,
he was a bull for a minute.
Spelled with a W. I haven't seen him play since the college days.
That's going to be
Theis
tough
is
for you,
good.
Hank.
Yeah. His brother's on Michigan, yeah. So you can maybe watch him and be like, ooh.
Yeah, the Wagner twins.
Yeah. Vons Vog.
Yeah. I am very, very excited about what the Bulls did. Obviously, they're not a title contender, but they will hopefully make the playoffs now, and they're going to play fun basketball because I watch every Bulls game. I a lot of nights I'm like, why am I doing this? But if you watch him, you know that Zach LaVine, when he plays with the young guys, it's like not getting the most out of him. And now he has some veterans around him, some guys that can play, and it will be very fun to watch.
It's also going to be fun to watch the Nuggets because they got JaVale McGee, too.
Mm-hmm.
JaVale McGee, how many times has he been traded? How many teams has he played on?
He has played on,
I think, half the teams in the NBA.
But I'm going to say five.
I think it's more than that.
You're at 15.
I'm taking the over.
You're at 15. I'm at 5.
Yeah. Oladipo.
Oladipo to Miami is a great trade. Yeah, the Rockets somehow, the James Harden trade now is going to look even worse because they have nothing from that.
Mm-hmm. George Hill to the Sixers.
What are you going to say? All the Georges got traded.
JaVale McGee's second time on the Nuggets.
Okay, so how many
seven.
Different teams? Seven teams.
Yep. Eight stop.
All the Garys got traded.
J.J. Redick to the Mavericks.
Trent. Yeah. Gary Harris got traded to, Gary Trent Jr. got traded to the Raptors, and it was pointed out online. I saw someone say that Gary Trent Jr., so Gary Trent Sr. also played in the NBA. Gary Trent Sr. named his sons Gary Trent Jr., Garyson, Grayson, and Graydon.
Oh, that would suck to be Graydon.
Yeah.
Graydon was that one was very much just trying to make that last one happen.
Yeah, he basically just did a word scramble with Gary.
Yeah, if you're going to go for that, do the George Foreman. Be like, yeah. This is George, this is also George.
Or do George. Gary Payton had two sons with different mothers, and one was Gary Payton Jr., one was Gary Payton III.
I like that. What's the difference between junior and second?
That's crazy.
I don't know. Yeah,
so
it is.
I think second is, in order to be a junior, you have to have first, middle, and last all aligned.
Yes.
But if you want to do a second, you can do first name and last name, but middle name is different.
I think so.
And then that's the
second. I don't
know
what the rules are.
I got it.
Here it is.
Both are used to identify that the person is the second in the family. Junior is used when the son has the same name as the father. The second is used when the elder family member is anyone other than the father.
What?
I don't know. I
just that made
it
way more confusing.
It sounds like...
Huh?
Yeah. I have no idea what you just said.
So if you weren't the firstborn, you can't be junior? You gotta be the second.
Wait.
That's what it means.
I don't know. I think it is cool. Like, if you're an NBA star...
Grandfather, uncle,
you?
Or cousin uses the second.
Huh? Okay, so it can skip
so, like, if your son had a son and named him...
Second.
Yeah, so I guess they skip.
Second. Got it.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
The Heat also are getting LaMarcus Aldridge. So when you look at like the Eastern Conference Finals,
can he jump?
Still,
is
like
he able to get off the ground?
The Heat are going for it. The Celtics haven't done shit, so it's like you can see that the Heat are like trying to get better, make another run.
I like it. I actually, you know what? I'm gonna take back what I said at the beginning. This trade deadline is fire emoji.
Oh shit!
Yeah,
it's back.
Shefty was right.
Did he say fire emoji or did he tweet the fire emoji?
Tweet the fire emoji. Woj also. Now we are a Shams podcast, but he got worked by Woj. Yeah. Woj did the classic like, oh, people think that I've lost my fastball. Well, here's 101 on the black.
Do you think that Woj wakes up in the morning on trade deadline? He's got all these drafted ready to go because he knows exactly what's going to happen.
We can't say his name. Like a Revelle Super Bowl day?
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. That would be, yeah. I mean, it was a lot of like different trades and different moves. And I do like that there's some teams. I just like whenever there's teams that are really like, hey, let's try to win. And then the full tank Rockets. And Rockets might be the worst team ever. And the Magic. You also, Hank, so what are your thoughts overall? Because you got Luke Kornet, who is Robert Horry 2.0, according to Jim Boylan. That's cool.
Like I said, you look at the Eastern Conference Finals last year, the Heat have made improvements. They're going for it. The Celtics aren't really doing shit. And their team is not as good as they were last year going into the trade deadline. Didn't get Aaron Gordon. We kept Marcus Smart. I was happy about some Celtics fans were, you know, trying to like, well, actually me telling me that we need to get rid of Marcus Smart. I disagree, so I'm happy we kept him. But overall, I'm disappointed. And there's no way we're winning. There's no way we're beating the Nets. There's no, like, we're probably not going to beat the Heat again.
That's what sucks about the NBA,
is where there's really only a few teams that like are going to make the finals.
How long do you think it's going to take for Danny Ainge to leak a report saying how close they were to getting their targeted free agents?
Yeah, it's the joke everyone's making. People are saying Danny Ainge is going to be in the hot seat. I don't know. It has been a long time where
there was a time where
Danny Ainge was like the guy, Trader Danny, has all these picks. Those picks didn't really amount to shit. And now, you know. What are we doing?
He actually was genius in that you just hoard picks and everyone can be like, well, we're going to do something eventually.
Well, that's what the Thunder doing. But that's where it's like they hoard picks. Every trade deadline they're in it, they're like, oh, they can get this guy because they have so many picks, but they never do anything.
I also saw that Bol Bol was trending for a while today. I guess that's the new thing is to be like the Nuggets are adding pieces around Bol Bol. I do want to see him get more minutes because there's nothing sweeter than seeing Bol Bol run the floor and do a behind-the-back dribble.
He's smooth.
He looks like a magician.
Shout out Kendrick Perkins, who called the Chicago Bulls acquisition Busa Bitch, which I kind of like that.
Yeah.
So I might just go with that and start. He was struggling with it. I'm all in on that. Sell the Busa Bitch jerseys. But yeah, it was cool that the NBA trade deadline actually had some moves because I feel like we've had a few that haven't had that. Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts quickly on trade deadline? Anything? Anyone?
Hot Stove League.
Hot Stove League. Kyle Lowry, the big news. Oh, Lou Williams gets to go to Magic City in Atlanta.
That's huge.
A lot of people made that joke.
Get the lemon pepper wings. Yep. Yeah, I did hand up. I did that one. Lemon pepper wings are like ever since that story came out, I've just been putting lemon pepper on everything. Not just wings. It makes literally everything better. Wait, that's also kind of right before I started developing kidney stones.
Mm-hmm.
Worth it.
Yes. Let me think. Oh, fuck. Oh, yeah, so Rondo's on the Clippers. That will be interesting to watch Rondo bother. Like, hopefully the Clippers and the Lakers play in the playoffs, and we get to see playoff Rondo do it to the Lakers.
The LeBron stopper. That's
people
why
forget
they got Rondo there. Yeah.
Rondo really was the reason why they won the title.
Yeah. Rondo's a guy that also, he has the revenge factor. Like, he carries grudges. I like mean Rondo. When he gets mad at people, he's more effective. So, yeah, I mean, I don't really expect the Clippers to do jack shit in the playoffs again this year, but...
Also,
it'll be nice to see him out there.
People were being really mean to AD on Twitter the last couple days, which I didn't appreciate. So that was the other big story.
Oh, about what?
Yeah, I'm actually talking about Andy Dalton. I'm thinking about doing a rebrand for him.
Okay, AD.
What do you think? AD, do you like that? I just tried that out.
AD is not bad.
Right. Like, if we just start calling him AD, people are like, hey, that's not bad.
How sick would Andy Dalton look with a red unibrow, too?
Dude, like, when you say, oh, yeah, AD is going to ball out this year, I don't know. It kind of... Kind of makes me feel like it. I'm
QB1.
I am very, very close to. I even texted our friend Perloff, who's part of the Dan Patrick Show, because he is probably the biggest AD stan out there. I texted him. I was like, hey, we probably need to get together in the next week or two so you can just give me all your notes. Mm-hmm. Because I think with the way the Bears are just trolling everyone, I think I'm going to get in on the troll. I think I'm going to be an AD guy.
I love that, that the main account from your team is so self-aware that they made a meaningless move, that they're trolling Twitter by putting out QB1 graphics of Andy Dalton photoshopped into a Bears.
They've actually been on fire.
Yeah, it's. I love it, personally. If I was a Bears fan,
oh, it's terrible.
I would have to do what you're doing, which is right. Just like talk yourself all the way into it.
Say
what about what about the Dalt train? All aboard.
Dalt train's pretty good. The Bears have been on fire. They did AD boxing, and then they did the band getting back together, and it was the special teams unit. It was
You mean WeFence?
Yeah.
As Ron Zook put it?
It was fucking, they're just trolling everyone. I guess at some point, if you're so bad and you piss everyone off, just be like, it was just a prank, guys.
Yeah.
It was just a fucking joke.
They got Andy Dalton for the retweets. Yeah.
AD. Say it again.
They got AD for the clout.
That sounds way better.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to be an AD guy.
I like that you're talking yourself into it. I'm starting to talk myself in football team news. I was dismayed when I woke up yesterday because I saw the report that Dan Snyder was buying out all the shares of the minority owners, which is people are saying it's because the report on how big of a creep Dan Snyder is about to come out. And it turns out he's just a normal creep, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to have to keep the team. And it's pretty much as close to a death sentence
easily
for a fan as you can get, because Dan Snyder is going to outlive me. I know I've accepted that a long time ago, even though he's like 30 years older. He's got all the good billionaire medicine.
I would guess he's got a shithead son, right?
He's got a son. I don't know any.
If
I don't
he's
know.
A shithead?
I mean, the odds are
he will become one.
Odds are that if you grow up with Dan Snyder as
your
role
dad,
model,
yeah,
you probably, but I don't know, that I might be way off on that.
We'll hold back, yeah.
He's going to be the owner of the football team for my entire life, and so now I'm having to figure out a way to spin zone myself into that. I'm just saying, like, maybe the problem was Dan didn't have enough control.
Mm.
Maybe the CEO of FedEx was the one that was screwing everything up. I mean, I've seen Castaway.
It could be,
Those guys fuck everything up. They just, first sign of any sort of adversity, they start opening up other people's packages. I don't trust them.
Just spin yourself off the planet of the Earth. That's
I'm a
what
UPS
I'm
guy. I'm a UPS guy.
I'm just like a
through.
Top spinning. I'm a dreidel just spinning at all times, just trying to figure out a way.
So
I don't care, though, because the Bulls made good moves, and I'm in with AD.
I think I'm all in on Dan Snyder, too. Dan Snyder, just a normal creep.
There you go. Perfect. All right, let's do some talk about the Sweet 16 coming up. Before we do that, Movement Watches are back in a tiny apartment in Southern California. Two college dropouts teamed up to create a watch company that broke all the rules with fair prices, unexpected colors, and clean original designs. Movement, MVMT, grew into one of the fastest growing watch brands, shipping to over 160 countries across the globe. We wear Movement watches. We love Movement watches. They are stylish, they look good, and they don't cost $1 million. You probably are going to walk around with your Movement watch. People will be like, whoa, is that a $400, $500 watch? Nope. It's a Movement. You can get it for $100. It is a great watch. Stylish, goes with anything. Suits, casual wear, whatever you're looking for. Movement watch has the perfect watch for you, and they have all new collections that they're releasing all the time. So they also have blue light glasses that you should check out as well. If you're like us and you're sitting in front of your computer for the entire day, the new Everscroll blue light filtering glasses are a game changer. It really helps with eye strain and poor sleeping patterns. And they have modern style frames, which make you look good. So you got your Movement watch, you got your Everscroll glasses, and you're looking great and you're feeling great. And if you want to elevate your look with style that doesn't break the bank, then join the Movement and get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to MVMT.com/pardon. That's MVMT.com/pardon, MVMT.com/pardon. Movement watches, check them out. Okay, Sweet 16. The reseeding was a disaster. Jake, did you reseeded afterwards?
Yeah, it was clean.
Do you want to give it to us? Give it to us so that we have something to go off
I think
of.
Where we went wrong when we tried to reseed, in my head, I was reseeding teams based on how I personally felt they were playing.
Mm-hmm.
What Jake did was you just did it like the committee, because the committee got it right.
That's
okay.
The reseed. And the Bama twice was a great touch.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
Geez, Jay Billis did the same thing, too.
I know. He was probably listening to our show.
Yeah.
Fucking right. Jay Billis doesn't fucking follow anyone on Twitter. You're such a hardo, dude.
The 116 Seriously. Matchup is Gonzaga Oral Roberts, 8-9, Creighton Villanova.
Okay, keep going.
5-12. Do you want me to go in order or say the matchup?
No, just say the list.
Okay. Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan, Alabama, Houston, Arkansas, FSU, Creighton, Villanova, USC, Oregon, Loyola, Syracuse, UCLA, Oregon State, Oral Roberts.
Wow. I think Loyola is too high there.
Yeah, they should be.
Loyola fans were not happy with me when I did a factual thing.
Well,
like, no respect. Like, relax.
Relax. Mm-hmm. Relax. Yeah. They also have a very, like, what's going to happen, what you should have realized, Jake, is that Loyola has a path to the Final Four here that's not that hard.
Right.
So you should have put them higher because now it's going to happen. They're going to get to the Final Four, you're going to look like an idiot. You don't think they will?
I mean, bias Syracuse. That's the only. But yes, if it wasn't Syracuse, yes, they're going to get back.
Okay, so Loyola and Oregon State playing the first game.
Sister Jean has refused to release her scouting report publicly. She said because Oregon State might be listening. So she's around her little cauldron, wagging her eye of newt, making all these predictions, looking in the reflection of whatever toad broth that she's got boiling up. I love Loyola in this.
The problem is Oregon State, they are a team that has been so hot, and I made the decision to start betting on them back in the Pac-12 conference tournament, and it has paid off wonderfully. So I'm pot committed.
Okay.
It's a you gotta keep taking the points and just, you know, I want Loyola to win, but if there's 7 points in a game that's gonna be very low scoring, give it to me. Baylor's gonna truck Villanova. Put it on a board. Put it on a quote board. And I love Villanova. Villanova fans, we've been through the ringer many years. But yeah, Baylor, I've seen that Baylor team. They're going to truck you.
Somebody asked us who was paying us to not talk about Baylor. Mm. And I wish somebody was paying. I'm doing
a lot of bad stuff in that program.
Out of the love of my heart. You should actually pay us to not talk about Baylor if you're a Baylor fan.
Yes. Jailer. Oral Roberts, Arkansas. Arkansas is going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Must bus.
Must bus all the way.
Must bus. Big we just time. Won on the record. We talk about it with Nate Oates, but we are must bus guys.
Mm-hmm.
That Kevin Bacon story didn't change your opinion at all?
What was the Kevin Bacon story? Or Roberts Footloose?
Yeah, well, the head coach was in a barbershop, and he heard Kevin Bacon was getting a facial in the back.
Whoa. So then, okay, that's serious.
Like, facial.
Well, anyway, what do you mean? Explain
then
a facial.
Then Kevin Bacon came out the back, and the head coach was like, hey, you like your facial? And Ken Bacon was like, yeah, you look like you need a couple. Like saying like his face looked like shit. So then the head coach goes.
I got it. Thank you.
Head coach goes, well, I'm not wearing any panties, so.
What?
Yeah, I don't really understand.
They almost got in a fight.
Yeah.
When was
this? He should have kicked Kevin Bacon's ass.
When was this?
That was the word for word.
I actually I take points off the Oral Roberts coach. If Kevin Bacon talks shit to you. We had him in the studio. Kevin Bacon is about my size.
Like Hold on.
You got to swing on that.
So two dudes almost got in a fight at a facial factory?
20 plus years ago.
Barbershop.
Oh, okay.
20 plus years ago.
Wait, this wasn't like yesterday?
Yeah, this has nothing to do with this then.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Arkansas.
Come on.
By a million.
Not even with the points?
No. Fuck Oral Roberts.
Arkansas.
I'm taking the points just for that
Kevin
Bacon story.
I think we've reached the the end of Oral Roberts jokes that like I'm ready for them to be gone.
Yeah. Two is the perfect amount.
Yeah, it's over. I think Syracuse is going to win on Saturday night, Jake. Buddy Bayham.
Me too.
Number one pick.
Houston should not. Rutgers blew that game.
Yeah.
Rutgers should have beat them.
I'm all over Houston. Or I'm all over Syracuse sloppy. Too because like the zone. That's
right.
What you need to know.
And like, if the number one draft pick keeps shooting well, they're going to win.
Yeah, So you had Buddy Boeheim on your podcast.
Yes.
And you told him that I had him number one on my big board.
Yes.
He seemed to think that, like, in the back of his head, he's like, oh, nice. I'm finally getting the respect I deserve.
No, he said it was a joke.
Okay,
good.
All right,
he's like,
good.
I know it's a joke.
I didn't watch
funny.
The whole clip. It was too long.
It was like 55 seconds.
What did I just
he
say?
Gave me the retweet. That's all that matters. The retweet's all that matters.
35 seconds too long.
What's the other Boeheim's name?
Jimmy. He plays at Cornell.
Yeah, so I heard a rumor on the street that Jimmy was thinking about doing a grad transfer to Syracuse next year.
That would be great.
To play for his pops.
Buddy, the Boeheim twins?
Buddy comes back, yeah.
I don't know if they're twins. I don't
think. No, we've been over
trouble,
this.
Yeah.
It's better when they're twins.
Oh, okay.
Guys like twins.
They're all twins.
Right. All right, Sunday. All right, let me see if I can do this right, because everyone gets really mad.
Gonzaga.
Jimmy's a senior.
Gonzaga.
Gonzaga.
How do you pronounce it?
It's a long A.
Zaga.
Gonzaga.
Mm-hmm.
The Gonzagas.
Gonzaga.
Sounds like a pandemic.
Gonzaga. Gonzaga.
Gonzaga.
They're
like
Gonzaga
Zanzibar.
Fans are very mad. This
the Zaga. Yeah.
You guys are gonna win. You guys
Zaga-nation.
Are gonna win it all. You don't think so?
I think they're getting upset
against Creighton.
Yep.
With the
no
P word.
It's
no
so
chance.
Chalky that it's.
Do you remember the P word?
Yeah.
You can't win
like,
a title.
I mean, they've won two games.
It's the opposite of a team of
AOC.
Destiny at that point.
Oh, AOC, the return of AOC. That would be, yeah. You are the biggest AOC fan I know.
AOC upsetting Washington again.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There it is. Florida State, Michigan. I don't know who's going to win this game.
Hank, how many people get mad at you for any AOC tweet that you put out?
A lot.
It's shocking.
People get mad at you guys when I tweet out AOC.
They got mad at me. I had the same day. I had AOC to you, and then I also David Duke, parentheses, Providence, because he hit a game-winning shot.
Oh, I learned that the hard way at the beginning of the season. PFT told me.
Yeah, I think Jake was like, David Duke is amazing.
Yeah, can't say that.
Can't say it at all. I do love the people that snitch tagged to me and Big Cat. Like, Hank made a political reference.
Yeah, lock him up. All right, so Florida State, Michigan. I don't know. This game, this game's going to be good, and I don't know who's going to win. It's a terrible.
My heart says Michigan.
My heart says Florida State, unfortunately. I just feel like Florida State's always good for one big win in the tournament and then to lose the next game.
Big Ten needs it.
Mm-hmm. And everyone says Leonard Hamilton, like, can you believe it? He's one of the best coaches that hasn't been to a Final Four. And also, how old is he now? 72?
He's in his mid-70s, I think.
He looks like he's 40.
Yeah, it's incredible.
My friend did a Rossianism, ages like fine wine.
That's good. That's a great one.
Yeah.
Did he make that up?
I was going to give you much silence as possible after that, just to make it as awkward as possible. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. We'll react.
He's 72.
Say it again.
Leonard Hamilton, ages like fine wine. It's my friend.
It's a big sheesh.
You could just say that you came up with it, Jake.
I don't even think it's a Rossi. I think that's a common thing, anything that's old.
It's like Leonard Hamilton. Timeless wonder.
Yeah.
All right. Whatever.
All right. UCLA, Bama. We have Nate Oates on. We have had Mick Cronin on.
Like, Rossi would have been ages like a shitty movie from the 90s that still is good.
Ages like
Face Off.
Wedding Crashers. What do you mean shitty movie? Shitty movie with Face Off.
Right.
Yeah, well, it's an incredible movie. Sense.
Well, that stood up to the test of time.
One actor plays the other guy.
Jake, to do a full Rothstein, you got to tell your friend, to do a full Rothstein, it can't be a common saying. It has to be a saying that makes no sense, really, and has no real comedic value.
Yeah, like Dana Altman of Oregon and the Rubik's Cube.
Right, and then...
Ages like Twinkies.
Right, and then eventually... Yeah, that's right. That's ages like Twinkies. And then eventually, if you just hammer people with it enough, they're like, ha, that's funny. That's a Rothsteinism. Mm-hmm. That's how you do it.
Ages like a painting.
Yeah. Ages like a rock. That would be ages like the earth. Over 3 billion, how many years?
60,000.
60,000 years?
60,000 years old.
That's it?
That's it, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, Earth's so young, Drake would hit it.
4.543 billion.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh. what did you call 60,000?
That's just a fact. Read your Bible.
Yeah. Billy's got the...
65 million years ago is the dinosaurs died.
There it is. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Billy.
It'd be sick, though, if the Earth was, like, mad young still.
Yeah.
And we're just all... It's acne.
Yeah, we're just dealing with it.
Yeah.
We're just getting through some growing pains. UCLA, Bama. Anyone?
I like Bama.
Is UCLA a team of destiny?
UCLA is fun, and I like Mick Cronin. And yes, whenever I tweet out a picture of him, it's just because I'm taller than him. That's pretty much the only reason why. I do like him being an outlier in LA. It's very funny to me that Mr. Cincinnati is like the blue collar UCLA guy. But I think I got to go Bama. It might just be because we interviewed Nate Oates. That actually might be what pushed me over the top. And my allegiance can be bought very easily for the cost of one interview on the show. But I think they've just been scoring too. Like 96 points against Maryland, to me, that made me feel like Alabama might reach the Final Four.
They go nuclear.
Yeah.
Mick Cronin, he kind of screwed up, but I know you. It's hindsight's 20/20. You don't know how long you're going to last in the tournament, but the whole storyline of not seeing his dad, not hugging his dad for 2 years or a year and a half, whatever it's been, he used it in the first weekend.
Mm-hmm.
He should have brought his dad out for this weekend. Then they win this game. I truly believe that.
Yeah,
dad
they're game.
Showing Hep Cronin in the stands and being like, man, after this game, they're going to get the hug. They somehow find a way.
A dad game is a game changer.
It
for
is.
Sure.
And then Oregon, USC, which will be great. We really should have Bill Walton calling this. I hope he does like a live stream or something and just cucks CBS. That would be awesome. But I'm excited for this game. And the Mobley twins.
Yeah.
Who aren't twins, but they are.
I think I like USC. Conference champions.
This is how stupid like gamblers are and people in the world and how we watch games. I think if you flipped when those games were played, everyone would be like, Oregon's going to win.
I'm just still...
If Oregon had beaten Iowa in the nightcap versus USC beating Kansas in the 11 o'clock game, I think everyone would have
thought differently.
Yeah, recency bias. Uh-huh. Yes. I think I'm also mad at Oregon for beating Iowa because Hank convinced me to bet on Iowa, and then that screwed up my entire 17 parlay.
What made you think that?
I fucked up.
Okay, thanks.
Fair.
That's a fair
I took Iowa.
they're not bad.
They're not bad.
Well, I also look at Oregon and...
I also saw a tweet that was like 80... It was really the under that I saw a tweet that was like... You were on Iowa. I said the under.
I said Iowa and the under. And you talked me into Oregon and the over.
Wait.
No.
Then you talked you into the...
No, sorry. You talked me into Iowa and the under.
Got it.
Yeah. I had the opposite of what happened two ways. But I think that Oregon... So, this was their first game.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm like, okay, now they're in the tournament. They're not as fresh. They had the freshness advantage over Iowa last week.
All I said to BFT, so, and this is fair in hindsight, was like, if you bet on Oregon and they come out and throw an absolute stinker, how dumb are you going to feel? I didn't say bet Iowa, but I was... We were on the way to the airport, and you were like, should I bet Iowa or Oregon? I was like, well, if you bet Oregon and they come out, they haven't played a game yet, on uncharted territory, and they suck, you're going to look like an idiot.
Yeah, that's totally different from
and
telling
I did tell
you
to take the under.
Yeah. Well,
it's okay. It happens.
Hey, gotta lose some. You gotta give some back, right? Yep. All right, let's do our interview. We have Nate Oates, coach of Alabama, who will be coaching in a game on Sunday against UCLA, ready to go. Before we do that, Simply Safe. If you have 30 free minutes, you never have to worry about a break-in at home ever again. That is how quick and easy it is to set up a security system from Simply Safe. It's the kind of thing that is so easy to do. You can do it during a Netflix binge, watching the game, or listening to a certain podcast. Go right now, simplysafe.com/PMT. It is super easy to customize for your home. Just go to simplysafe.com/PMT. You can easily choose the exact sensors you need or get help from one of their experts. It'll get you to your house in about 1 week, which means by this time next week, you and your family can go to bed knowing your home is being guarded by Simply Safe. It's easy to assume everyone in your house already feels safe, but they might not, and it's worthwhile to talk about it, and Simply Safe is a small, easy step to make sure everyone feels safe at home. Go to simplysafe.com/PMT today to customize your system and get a free security camera. You also get a 60-day risk-free trial, so there's nothing to lose. That's simplysafe.com/PMT, simplysafe.com/PMT. Go right now, simplysafe.com/PMT. Okay, here he is, Alabama head coach Nate Oates. Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest. It is head coach of Alabama basketball. They're in the Sweet 16 on Sunday against UCLA. It is Coach Nate Oates. And we just said before we started, we're going to throw in a disclaimer so that you know that we are tried and true must bust guys and Tom Crean guys. So we've known Tom Crean, Coach Crean, for actually like many years now.
Like 4 years,
I think.
We
visited him at Georgia a couple times, and we're also must bust guys. So maybe, if you're not watching, Coach Oates is now ripping up a piece of paper that said, bashing Tom Crean and Coach Musselman, and he's throwing that in the trash.
Listen, I'm from Wisconsin originally, so I used to actually work Coach Crean's camps at Marquette back when I was like a D3 assistant. So I've known Tom forever, and Tom's actually been good to me since I've been in the league. He's a Michigan State guy. I was in Detroit for 11 years, so I know Tom. Me and Tom are good. Musselman, I coached against him when he was at Nevada and I was at Buffalo. We came into the league together at the same time. He's done a great job. I mean, I respect that kind of him. He beat me when he was in Nevada. They beat us at their place pretty good this year. So we're all good.
All right, good. So you actually just brought it up. I was going to ask this later on in the interview, but from Wisconsin, got your graduate degree from the University of Wisconsin where I went, and then coached high school in Detroit area. So how much can I attribute Alabama's run to the Big Ten? 90%, 95%? Like, I'm counting this as a win for the Big Ten. Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm Wisconsin native. We're a Big Ten country. Like, I mean, whatever you want. I mean, you're the boss. Whatever you want, you know, just attribute it how you want.
Okay.
Look, we play a lot different than Wisconsin, though. I mean, we're not – I don't know if you like Wisconsin's style of play or, you know, like, but we're definitely not playing like the Badgers. But I'm a Badger fan now. I'm obviously an Alabama football fan being down here, but you know, while I was a basketball coach, before I got to Alabama, I was always pulling for Badger football.
Well, I know at Buffalo, you were incorporating things into your practices that were very, very Big Ten-like. I don't know if you still do them, but you do things. You would add, like, extra points. You had your own scoring system, right, for, like, hustle plays, which I assume, I don't know, like diving for a loose ball, taking a charge, keeping a block shot inbounds, those sorts of plays. Are you still doing that down in the SEC at Alabama?
Yeah, no, we still do it. We call it our blue collar points. We give out a hard hat at the end. And so maybe the helmet's football-ish, you know, it's more like a construction hard hat. But yeah, we try to value the dirty, grimy, like football. You know, so I was in Detroit 11 years. I used to go to Michigan State's practice, so some more Big Ten stuff a lot. Izzo would always have like the shoulder pads and the helmets in there ready to like throw the pads on for a rebounding drill or whatever. So we haven't broke out any shoulder pads or helmets or any of that stuff, but we still do the whole scoring system. You've done a little research, I think.
Yeah.
PFT. So I was going to bring up, like, I must have been all right on the JV show. I was on the Bench Mob show. I go back to my high school days, like my freshman year in high school, I played well enough on JV and then they moved me up to varsity.
Yeah.
Is that what happened
we
here?
We went back and we watched the film. I assigned you some blue collar points for some of your answers in that interview. So I was like, yeah, I think we're ready to move him up and see if he can take a charge in the big leagues here.
Yes, absolutely.
I went from JV to the varsity. Now I'm on the varsity with the Barstool Sports now or what?
Yes, you are. So, all right. So to just go back to your, what you said a minute ago. No, I do not like Wisconsin style of play. I much prefer what you've done at Alabama. It's fun. It's exciting. The thing I don't understand, I can't wrap my head around, and obviously this is why you are a great coach and have had so much success. How the heck do you get your team to play so fast and also play great defense? Those have never gone together in basketball. It's never, you know what I mean? Like, you think of the fastest teams, the run and gun, even like the 7 seconds or less Suns, like the idea of pushing the pace but also playing great efficient defense. How have you done that?
That's like a Big J journalist question right there.
Yeah. Well, because it baffles me. I'm curious. Yeah.
Did you come up with that on your own or did Jake feed you that one?
No, I came up with my own. I'll tell you why, Coach. I'll tell you exactly how I came up with my own. Because I did. You guys, your offense is so much fun to watch and shoot so many threes that I would start to take overs for Alabama games, but then they would not hit because you guys were playing too good a defense. And I was like, what the fuck is going on here? And then I was like, oh, crap, they're ruining it on the defensive end because a team that plays with that pace should always go over.
It's true. We like to get up and down, but when the defense is really good and it takes the other team a long time to figure out a score, then the slow stuff up a little bit. So, look, I mean, it's a good question. We've always played open free. It kind of goes back to my high school coaching days in Detroit. We had athletes all over and did a bunch of skill development, opened the floor up. So it's always been my philosophy. But I think when you give them as much freedom as we give them on offense, you can demand a lot more out of them on defense. So you know, there's a little give and take. Like, we're going to let you play on the offensive end, but in return, we're going to demand a lot out of you on the defensive end. And I don't think pace of play correlates to defensive efficiency at all, which you can tell. I mean, we're top three in the country in defensive efficiency. We've been number one for a few weeks and kind of fluctuate. But, you know, on our offense is one of the fastest, if not the fastest in Power Five. So I think we can still push the pace on offense and then demand a lot out of them on defense and get stopped. So, yeah, I mean, we're proving you can do it right now. We did it at Buffalo, too. My last year at Buffalo, I think we were 21st in the country offensive efficiency. Maybe we were top five in the country in scoring, and then we were 31st in the country in defensive efficiency, which is not easy to do at a mid-major because it's all, you know, based on somewhat on your opponents and stuff too. So,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. How are things going for you inside the bubble? Because you're a high-energy guy. I expect a lot of the coaches that are still remaining, for the most part, there's some young guys. There's some, like, guys that'll bounce off the wall, don't like being cooped up in a room for too long. Are you having to, like, schedule activities to counter your boredom, make sure you don't sit around, like, gnawing your paws off like a high-energy dog that you leave alone in the house? Or, like, how have you adapted to living in this bubble environment?
So that's a good question. The first day was bad because it literally made us just sit in this room that I'm sitting in, like, the whole day. We got the COVID test. We got in Sunday night after we won the SEC tournament, and then all day long, they finally let us out at like 9 at night after we got 2 negative COVID tests. Since then, so they've got this victory field, a baseball field. So I go for Ron, I got to get outside. I don't know about you guys. I can't stay inside all day. I've been out Victor Field a few times. Last night we went to the zoo. I've been trying to work out a little bit. Your guy Moss was actually really smart. I think he puts out a social media video every 3 hours or something. So everybody knows what he's got going on. He brought the Peloton. You guys saw that or not?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, like that was smart. I was like, dang, that would have been smart. You know, like then you could actually work out in your room instead of have to sign up for the 6 a.m. slot. And I'm not, you know, I wasn't real motivated to get up at 6 a.m. to go for a run. But I've been outside a little bit. We're going to order a pool table and arcade game in for our players in our meeting room. It's supposed to be coming tonight. So I like to shoot a little pool. What else we got going on? Oh, we're going to Top Golf tonight. They're kind of letting us out of our little.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm terrible. My golf game stinks, but you know who knows? Maybe I hit one out there a little bit.
I like the idea of going to the zoo. I'm a big fan of zoos. Like you, if you have a bad time at a zoo, I don't think that I can be friends with you. It would just never work out. What did you guys do at the zoo?
No, I was all about it. I was in there. What do you do at a zoo? Stare at the animals.
Yeah.
Where do you guys live? What is there a zoo where you guys live?
We got the Bronx Zoo. We got the Central Park Zoo, which I think has two lemurs and a couple penguins, and then some like depressed bears that are like, why am I living in New York City? I don't get this. It's not a great zoo that's really close by, but anytime I go to the zoo, it's like the highlight of my year.
Yeah, some of our guys were like all fired up. How about one of our guys had never been to a zoo before we took him last night? I didn't know that would be possible for a college age kid.
I love that. Yeah. Seeing those big animals for the first time, it'll blow your mind.
Yeah. And, you know, at Alabama, we got the elephants. So the whole team got our picture taken in front of the elephants. You know, we got the Roll Tide with the elephant. I work at Alabama. I'm still not quite sure how, you know, we're the Crimson Tide, but our mascot's an elephant. We're like, maybe you guys can do some research. Maybe it might be a Big J journalist kind of research project one of these days.
I think this might be completely wrong, but I think the Crimson Tide was named after a Big J journalist who he wrote an article about an Alabama football game. And he said that Alabama's players were washing over the opponent like a Crimson Tide out there on the field. And so they named the entire program after a column, which is, that's like the peak of journalism right there.
So you're going to claim like that was the original Big J journalist that wrote that cup? Because that is the story they've given. Like they ran over him like a Crimson Tide.
Yeah.
It's like a herd of elephants stampeding down the field or something like that. Mm-hmm. That was the original Big J journalist, though?
I think so, yeah. And actually, we had a debate last Saturday. We were talking about Alabama football. I've seen some pictures of you at the games. You obviously like have ingrained yourself in the culture of the school a little bit. Do you think that if you were to coach Alabama's football team as a basketball team, how many wins do you think you could have gotten this season with those athletes?
Shoot, man, they got some pretty good athletes, right? Like Devontae Smith could probably get up and down on our pace a little bit. I think Mac Jones be a quarterback. You know who's actually good? Bryce Young, I've seen Bryce Young play a little hoop. You know, he was a backup quarterback. He can hoop a little bit. They got some big boys inside too. We could play a little smash mouth on the offensive glass. I don't know. Like, I don't know how skilled they'd all be, but we'd make it fun for sure. We'd win a few. We'd get out there and win a few games.
Has Saban maybe said something like, "Hey, look, I'm rooting for you guys, but don't get too good because we're still the meal ticket here. Like we're still the big dogs in town."
Nah, he's not none of that. He's been great. He congratulated me after the regular season title, after the tournament title. He's been all. I think that he's a basketball guy. He, him and Izzo are still buddies. He, you know, go back to his days at Michigan State, and he has a little noon I don't know. His staff comes over and plays. You've heard about it?
Yeah, I've heard about it. And I think he like rigs it so he always wins, doesn't he? Have you ever played there? Have you ever gone and shot around?
I've only been here 2 years. So last year he got hip surgery. So I think that kind of cut out their noon league. And I asked him, I said, "You still going to be able to play basketball?" And he said, "What?" So why do you think I got the surgery done? So I, obviously it was and then this year we got the COVID stuff going on. So I you know, like maybe when I get back and maybe if everybody's got their vaccination done or who knows, maybe I'll jump in. I got to work on my jumper, though, because if he's going to pick me up, he's got, you know, he's got to be able to see I can make some shots. I might have to get in the gym and start working on my game after the season's over.
What are the rules going to be in that? Like, if you guard him one-on-one, are you going to be able to really put the clamps on him? Are you going to put the body on him? Or is it Saban and you're like, can't touch?
From what I've heard, he picks his team, and then he picks who guards him on the other team. So my guess would be if I was guarding him, that would be really – that would say something about my defensive abilities. That would mean I'm an awful defender if he picks me to guard him.
He's like,
so hopefully I wouldn't be guarding him.
Yeah, he's like Justin Bieber when he practices against his worst friend and then makes his other friend take a video so that goes up online. Mm-hmm. That's what Saban does.
Yes.
In the run. I like that.
He's not big on the video though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Have you been asked or commented on the end of the SEC championship game, which, by the way, was one of my favorite games of the entire year. That was a high-level game, great shot-making, great drama. What exactly did you say to LSU in that moment?
I don't know what I said. I got really excited. I think some people tried to read lips. I didn't mean any disrespect to LSU. I figured you guys would bring that up. Somebody did a little Big J journalist research, you know. Like I watched it.
I was watching it. It was awesome. And I have actually a bone to pick with you because I think that, you know, the style you guys play, the way that you, you know, speak your mind is all refreshing, but you apologize too much. The fact that you apologized for Coach K earlier this year, those comments, like, stop apologizing. Just be yourself.
Just say it and just be done with it?
Yeah. What does it matter? I mean, there's people disagree. That to me, at the end of the SEC game, that was just a coach who was passionate about his team, who was in a great game, who'd been in a long season, letting out a little bit of emotion. That's sports. That's what it should be about.
That is what it was. I was fired up. You know, we had a little. Did you see the little little scuffle before the game that happened?
Yes. That's why we watch sports.
There was a little extra emotion involved in that one, and there was a few other things going on behind the scenes. So we needed to make sure we had that win. So
yeah.
We're on four games. Yeah. We got that win. We're good.
I think I read your lips after the game. What I saw was great freaking win, guys. And I was like, that's great. Yeah, I love that.
PFT's my guy. That's what I'm claiming. That's what I said.
And then you had to go kind of, out of the flames and into the frying pan and face off against a legendary coach, Rick Pitino, in the first round. Great coach, like one of the all-time legends of the game, and you knew you were going to get 40 minutes of hell from him. What was your game plan like? Did you have to make any adjustments leading into that game, knowing Coach Pitino's style of play?
You know what? I didn't know what he was going to do exactly. I mean, he's obviously a Hall of Fame coach. He's won multiple national championships.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I had to go against him. I didn't sign up for that, getting a 2 seed. You know, we were the only Power 5 team to win the regular season and the tournament championship in a Power 5 league. And then they lined me up with Rick Pitino, Hall of Fame coach, in the first round. So I didn't know exactly what he'd do. You try to guess. We didn't change a whole lot of what we do. I did think, I mean, he did a great job. They were up on us in the second half. Then our athleticism finally took over in our depth, and we kind of broke the thing open the second half. I'm cool with his son, Richard. I'd never met Rick before. And at this deal, everything's different. Like when we get to the arena, they got to sanitize everything. And so we couldn't even get to the locker room. So both us and Iona are shooting on one court. They got one in, we got the other. They got a curtain between. But I saw Rick over there. I went over and talked to him for like 15 minutes kind of before we could get to our locker rooms. He was great. His son, Richard, gave me his number. I've known Richard for a while. We and him have been cool. So I called him after we played and just kind of tried to pick his brain for a little bit. He was great. So, it was good.
And I saw from that comment that he told you that the first game's always the toughest, which I thought was very interesting. Because you have the Iona game, you guys are down in the second half, like you mentioned, and then the next game against Maryland, you know everything clicked, and you guys could have beaten the Nets on Monday night or Sunday night, whenever the game was. That's how hot you guys were from three. But it was interesting because I never really thought about that. You think that like the first game's always the easiest, but I could see how like jitters and not feeling the flow of the tournament could definitely get in teams' ways when they're playing in the first round.
Yeah, he brought up one of his Kentucky teams, I guess, had the biggest, and you guys, knowing you guys a little bit, you'd probably know this one, they had the biggest point spread in the history of the NCAA tournament. He said they were 36-point favorites against San Jose State, and it was a one-point game at the half. So, and then he did tell me they ended up covering the spread in the second half, which is crazy. So that second half must have been nuts. But so no, he told me that. I told our players that too. I was like, listen, like it's gonna, we're too good of an offensive team. It's gonna flow, and sure enough, it did. So I mean, maybe I'll just keep telling them like we're gonna have a great offensive game, and then you just speak it into existence or something.
This interview is brought to you by our great friends at GoPuff. GoPuff delivers all your daily needs so fast, it's almost confusing. From food and drinks to cleaning supplies, home needs, we're down 24/7 to show up with a bag of the stuff that you want. How do they do it over at GoPuff? Well, GoPuff actually stores 2,500-plus products in a local facility, so when you order, your stuff comes directly from GoPuff to you. Hence, you order in seconds, it's delivered in minutes. And because they're delivering straight to you, they don't have surge pricing. Delivery is always $195 no matter what. So during the March tourney, GoPuff is giving everyone a chance to save even more money just by buying what they like on GoPuff. You can check out their Bracket Royale. They created a bracket of their own. They seeded products according to popularity on the GoPuff mobile app. Whichever product sells more that day is deemed the winner. It's announced on their social and website at the end of the day. Then the winning product is put on promo the following day and progresses to the next round until the people's champion is crowned. So make sure to get into the game today by going to gopuff.com/go or by downloading the GoPuff mobile app today. And here's a great deal. Pardon My Take is the code. Use promo code Pardon My Take, like a podcast. Pardon My Take for $25 off your first order. It's a great deal. You can get everything that you need for your couch. If you're on your couch, you don't want to get up, you want something delivered to you, use GoPuff. It's faster. Use promo code Pardon My Take. Get $25 off your first order. And now here's more Nate Oates.
How much do you hate mid-range jumpers? Like, will you pull a guy out of a game if he takes one?
No, but if he takes too many of them. I mean, I don't even say I hate them. It's just all about the efficiency. Like, I mean, if you're shooting 60% on them, like, go ahead and take them. That's 1.2. Like, we're going to win most of our games doing that. But the problem is most of the guys are shooting, like, in the 30% and 40%, and that's an awful shot at those percentages. So it's more of a reprogramming them from the time they get in, from their high school, junior college, whatever, where they took way more of them to, we let them take them. We just devalue them. We only give you 1 point for them in practice.
Yeah.
Like kind of like the scoring system you talked about. So if you take them and you're just losing because you're taking these and we got 3-pointers and 4-pointers and you're taking 1-pointers. And so we kind of devalue it that way. And then we take the, but we don't tell them they can't shoot them. We just devalue them. And then, after a few months of stats, we start to show the guys like, you're shooting 35%. Well, that's 0.7 points per possession. We're not winning any games if that's what we get coming down. So maybe you want to quit shooting them. You think that's your shot and you're making 1 out of 3, but that's a terrible percentage. So it's more of getting them to believe it the same way I get them rather than just saying, maybe it's the new school parenting, back in the old school, you just do it because I'm your dad. Now it's, you got to explain everything. I got 3 kids. You got why.
So, right. So,
all right. You got to explain it all. You got to convince them to get to your side.
I like that. So explain it. So for people who don't know, the practice court was what you're referring to. It has 2-pointers right at the rim. 1-pointers is every single mid-range, and then 3-pointers and 4-pointers. Is that right?
Yeah, we put a 4-point line down. It's probably about 3 feet behind the NBA line. It's and we don't really encourage a ton of 4-point shooting but we put it down more for spacing. But we do like guys to have that range because then they can really spread the floor out. But yeah, so we want at the rims. We want in the order. We want free throws, at the rim twos, and then kick out threes. So you get free throws by driving the ball, getting fouled. The at the rim twos, everything from an at the rim two all the way out to a three, we just give 1.4.
Mm-hmm.
So even like a lane shot, even if it's not technically a mid range, but it's we call them non at the rims.
Hmm.
So we try, that's what we're trying to get.
That's your math background coming into play because you were a math teacher, right?
So math teacher.
That's where you learned all these fancy statistics like 3 is worth more than 2.
Wow.
Which is worth more than 1.
That gives you a big leg up.
Yeah.
Figure that out, right?
Yeah. I could have passed your math class. Definitely.
Yeah, you definitely could. We would have helped you through it. I mean, depending on how well you shot it. I mean, you know, like we got you through.
Yeah.
I also saw that you you were essentially like a corner store in your high school. You were selling Flaming Cheetos, Capri Suns.
Who did all your research for you guys? Somebody did a lot of research for you guys.
Jeeves on the internet. Actually, Wikipedia. Wikipedia is a big resource for this podcast. But I saw that you like outsold the corner store, the local corner store, so much so that the other teachers were mad because their students were late to come to class because they were all lining up to give you money because you were raising money for the basketball team on that. How many bags of Flaming Hot Cheetos would you go through in a week?
Oh, shoot. Listen, I bought a minivan and took all the seats out of it so that I could fill it up at Sam's every Sunday. Every Sunday I go to Sam's, and I had usually three boxes of 50. So it's 150 a day. So multiply by five, what's that give you? About 750 bags of hot Cheetos a week? That's about what we were going through.
That's some volume.
So there you go.
So what did you do when the other teachers were like, hey, this math teacher is making every student tardy, and they're all showing up to class with bright orange dust? All our Scantrons are inoperable because they've got bright orange dust all over them.
It wasn't that bad. The warning bell, at the warning bell, you got to shut it down. So you got to hurry up. You got 4 minutes to get in, get your stuff, get out. Or, you know, you sell before school, lunchtime, whatever. We had a whole system. You'd have to been in there. You guys would have enjoyed it. You'd have definitely been down in my classroom frequently during the days. But yeah, when I got to Romulus, I think I remember there was like $78 in the fundraising account. When I left, they had like over 20 grand, and we had, you know, the shooting machines, they call them guns.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They're like about $6,000 each. We had like six of those. So we just, yeah, we raised a little bit of money. That wasn't the only way we raised. We raised money a lot of different ways. But yeah, that was 8 years ago. We won the state championship in Michigan in 2013. So it hasn't been that long that I was still filling up the van with Sam's Club stuff.
That's crazy. So when you went to Buffalo, obviously you coached with Bobby Hurley. How crazy are the Hurley brothers?
Listen, I love Danny. But I just talked to Danny because they obviously played Maryland before we did. He gave me his 2 cents. I got to know Danny probably better than I did Bobby. And then Bobby got the job. And then obviously working for Bobby for 2 years, we got pretty close. And they, like, they're different, but they're kind of the same. They both got a definite streak to them where, like, you know, you don't want to get them too pissed off.
Right.
But I figured out where, I mean, Bobby's a really good player, but he's like ultra intense, you know, like on, like 90-95% of the time, probably more than that, like he's just chilled. Like if you had him on a podcast, he'd be great. Like he's just normal dude, laid back. But shoot, you lose two in a row, or you lose a recruit that you were supposed to get, they got a little bit different side to him. But I mean, just kind of got a deal. And I say them, like I never worked for Danny. So
right.
Me and Danny are cool. We still talk, but I worked for Bobby. I loved working for him. He was great, almost to the point, though, it was almost entertaining at times, but he knew it. He'd kind of, like, Bobby nuts, and he'd just kind of laugh, and he'd kind of know it. But, like, yeah, shoot, I remember a few practices the players found out he was a little nuts, too. But their dad's a Hall of Fame coach.
Yeah. Yeah, and I love, you know, Danny. I love watching, like, one of my favorite things to do is watch Danny on the sidelines just waiting for the technical that's going to happen pretty much every game. Because he just wears, and again, it goes back to what we were saying about the end of the SEC championship game. As fans, we consider ourselves pretty, like, regular average Joe fans. That's the kind of stuff we want to see. We want to see passion. We want to see coaches getting mad. That's the fun stuff. Coaches that are just kind of sitting there and not engaged with their team, that doesn't do anything for me.
Oh, no, both of those are super engaged. I mean, so Bobby's first year at Buffalo, I think he got 18th. So I don't know if that led the country. It had to be pretty close. Like eight, it's like one a T every four games. So yep. I never had to coach a game. He never got thrown out. He never got two in a game. Now, then he went to Arizona State, and he got tossed against the Arizona. I think, was that the first Arizona game they played?
Yes, yes.
First home. He was kind of inciting the crowd, getting them fired up as he's heading out the tunnel. So that never happened at Buffalo. We kept him in every game. He just, you know, he'd get the first team and we'd make sure he stuck around for the rest of the game. I never had to coach a game until I actually got the head job. But no, they're both super passionate, love what they do. You know, and shoot, I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for those guys. I mean, they gave me my start in the business. So I always be indebted to both those brothers.
Yeah. I've always wondered how that works on a college basketball sideline, because you see in college football a lot of times a coach will have their get back guy, the guy who's his only job is to like grab the back of the guy's belt and keep him on the sideline. In college basketball, you see a coach sometimes running out towards the scorer's table, running out towards the officials, but it's more of like all the assistants corral him and they surround him and start pushing him back. What would you say to him to get him to like, you know, call off the dogs for a second? We need you back on the bench. How would you talk him down?
I wouldn't. During the game, you just say, "Hey, Bob, we need you. Like, come on, man. Like, we can't get tossed here. Like, you know." But he's smart enough not to, you know, go. Once you get the first tee, you know you can't get tossed. Like, so you can't go too much overboard. Now, I think he got really emotional in the Arizona game down there. He was pretty good. I mean, I did sit down in his office once and try to tell him, like, Bob, like a lot of these refs are my age. Like, I grew up. I mean, you know, I don't know if idolize is the right word. I mean, I'm working for the guy now, so I don't know if that I use that word. But, like, I grew up watching you play and, like, really, you know, looked up to you. Like, maybe if you chopped it up with these refs before the game, like, they probably think the same way about you as me. Like, maybe we'll get a couple calls, you know? Like, yeah. Maybe, Bobby Early's pretty cool. So I think he tried that till the first call went wrong, and then
out the window.
Like, that's not for me. I don't want to be nice to him.
I've also liked your suits this year, because a lot of coaches have really kind of they've tampered it down a little bit. They got permission to wear sweats, and now they're like wearing bathrobes and stuff out there. Your plaid coats, I think, are the best in college basketball right now. Like a nice loud plaid, you don't see it that much anymore. It kind of looks like a 1980s. Almost like a what's his name? Herb Brooks type suit. How many plaid jackets do you have in store? Are you gonna break one out for this tournament?
Yeah, I brought seven of them along, so we got enough for all the games. What, Big Cat, did he just say I dressed like I'm in the 80s? Did I read that wrong?
No, he did. It's actually a high compliment for me.
You're an 80s. You're an 80s guy.
I love the plaid jackets. I don't think – no one wears them anymore. What I meant by that is, like, back in the 80s, that's what the coaches wore, and I thought that is – 1980s coaches in both the NFL and in basketball, I think that's the pinnacle of fashion.
Yeah, so I didn't do it at Buffalo. I just wore the suits. When I got to Alabama, if you guys go back – remember Wim Sanderson? They used to call it the Plaid Palace.
Mm-hmm.
So I borrowed one of Wim's suits. You'd probably find a picture for the first, like, of a tied tip-off deal, whatever they call it, like the Midnight Madness, but it's not midnight anymore. So I borrowed one of his, and then I was like, you know what? Back when I was a high school coach and in Buffalo, I didn't get the tailored suits. You buy them off the rack. Now I get paid a little bit more money, and I got a tailor guy. He started making me a few plaid sport coats, and we've rocked it. So I was with the bathrobes and the other stuff they're wearing for the first half of the season. It's ironic you call it bathrobes. Like, some of them are a little oversized, right? It's like, yeah. Some of them need to get like their polos fitted a little tighter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there anyone in particular you're thinking of when you say that?
Come on, I'm a coach. I mean, I'm not going to call out the other guy. I mean, you at least told me you're two guys in the SEC, so I wouldn't say anything stupid about them. And you've already referenced couple of my foot and mouth comments. So you're not going to get me into another one here.
Your Coach K thing was not foot and mouth, by the way. That we said the same thing and everyone thought it was great. So you don't, that doesn't count.
Yeah.
That doesn't count. You're just new school.
All right, I'm with one.
Yeah, new school, old school.
I wanted the season to go. I liked my team. We needed to play a season. So,
yeah, but, right.
Hold on. Let's not talk about shutting the season down. We need the season to go on.
Yeah.
That was part of the other reason I went to the sport coach too. I'm so ready for everything to get back to normal. I we lost a game, and it was like a great excuse. I'm like, that's it. I'm going back to sport coach. Let's get back to normal as soon as we can get back to normal.
Yeah, it would make sense that a coach that's confident that they have a good team would want to continue to play as many games as possible, which is why you made that comment about what Coach K said about his team, which may or may not have fit in that same category as Alabama's team. Wink, wink. I get it. With Syracuse, then Jim Boeheim kind of had Coach K's back because I think they're best friends. And he gave you a compliment I don't think that he intended to give you. He was like, we've got this young guy out here running off at the mouth. He called you young.
Well, I'm a little younger than he is.
Yeah.
So Boeheim, so I know Boeheim enough. I mean, I was in Buffalo, he's in Syracuse. So we did a golf outing together. Like, And again, I get what he was doing. Like, I get it. I mean, those guys are buddies. I think they coached in the Olympic team together, and he's maybe. And I look, and I talked to Kay about it too. So I'm, you know, Bobby worked for Kay, so we had that whole thing going on. But I did see the Boeheim comment. I'll say this about Boeheim. We played them my second to last year at Buffalo. We were up with 3 minutes to go in the game, and probably should have beat them. Ended up losing a tight one. He ended up rescheduling us the next year, which he didn't have to do, and we went in there and beat him. So I give him some credit. Everybody used to say he played the cupcake schedule. He scheduled us after we almost beat him. Then we did go in there and beat him. So I'm 1-1 against him now. So we're all right. He's in the Sweet 16. He's doing like Jim Boeheim things, right? Like
yeah.
Week into the tournament, everybody says he shouldn't be in. They somehow gets in, and next thing you know, he's in the Sweet 16.
It's true. Like
He does it all the time.
Yeah. All right, my last question, and this has been great. What is the key to winning in March? I saw a quote. I want you to just repeat it, but tell me what the key to winning in March is.
I mean, you want the dumb quote, or like you got to make more, you know, points the other
team? No, I think you said get your butt to the free throw line and quit avoiding contact. I just like that.
Oh, listen. Yeah, so we're – I don't know if that was the question, but that was an answer to some question. Like we were not getting to the free throw line. I mean, you go back – your guy Moss, when we played at Arkansas, and I you guys big on the shirt, like the
yes.
Ripping the shirt off. After,
yes, love it. Love it.
I don't matter what.
I love it. I don't think you like it. I sense some disdain, but I love it.
I didn't say that. I'm just wondering. Like I wanted your take on it. I yes. Like I could ask questions too. It's like, you know, like. But anyways, when we lost to them at their place. It was like the biggest free throw discrepancy in the last 10 years of the SEC. It was like 43-8, I believe, at the free throw line. So everybody wanted to talk about how much we got screwed, like, you know, 35 more free throws than us. And maybe we did. Who knows? But my thing to our team was, like, we're obviously not doing enough to get to the free throw line. Like, we're not driving it hard enough. We're avoiding contact. Like, that's soft. It's like, you know, like, football guy, right? Like, you shouldn't be avoiding contact. Like, mm-hmm. Drive the ball, get fouled, go to the free throw line, make it. So we've been trying to get to the free throw line a lot more. When you're hitting threes like we did last game, you might fall in love with the three a little better. Maybe don't get to the free throw line as much. But I do think, like, free throws at the rim, twos, kick out threes. That's what we're trying to get. Well, if you don't get fouled, you can't shoot a free throw.
Yeah.
And if you avoid contact, you're not going to get fouled. Mm-hmm. So you got to get to the free throw line.
It's a big thing that drives me nuts at the end of games when teams have a last possession. I'm always like, how do you dribble around and then take a fadeaway three when if you go to the rack, there's a good chance they're going to call a whistle if there's any contact there at the end of the game. So, like, go make something happen.
Yeah, I'm with you. You got to put some pressure on the defense and the referees both in those situations. So, yeah, I forgot I made that question. I don't know what the question was, but I did say that, and that's my thought behind that.
Yeah.
I like it. That's how you win in March.
Yeah, it was actually at Buffalo. You said, quit avoiding contact, get your butt to the free throw line. Soft teams can't win in March.
There you go. I didn't remember. That was a Buffalo quote. I had a few quotes at Buffalo that, anyways.
It's a good quote. It's a good quote. Well, this has been awesome. Good luck on Sunday. Again, we're not – like, I'm rooting for – well, no, you know what? You're behind Arkansas now because you count as a Big Ten team. You already said that counts. So there's enough Big Ten.
Yeah, we're going to be a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, the Big Ten, they ended up with one team in the Sweet 16 after nine teams in the
two. You guys count. Dude, you know what? Can I ask you something then, Coach? Why don't we talk about the Big 12? Everyone talks about how great the Big 12 was. Big 12 only has one team left, too.
It's a good point. I don't know what happened.
Well, also,
the Pac-12 was –
yeah,
I would say
Pac-12 was supposed to be down, and they got four.
Yeah,
UCLA should count as a Big Ten team too.
Yeah,
who's the other Big Ten team? What were you saying?
UCLA should count as a Big Ten team. I mean, Mick Cronin, Cincinnati guy, he's from the state of Ohio,
and that's Big Ten style.
Yes, definitely, they're the Big Ten of Los Angeles.
Yep,
more so than USC. Mick Cronin's teams are always hard nosed, tough. We get to play against them. I mean, I'm not excited. I played against him when he was at Cincinnati. I was at Buffalo. It wasn't fun either. But I think this year was harder because there wasn't as many non-conference games with all the COVID stuff. So everybody didn't get to see how good everybody, you know, like, and the Pac-12 started, I think, later than most leagues. So maybe they were better than everybody thought all year. They got four teams in the Sweet 16.
Yeah. Yeah. So. No, it's true. Well, thanks so much, Coach. good luck on Sunday. Either way, like we just said, UCLA versus Alabama, no matter what, the Big Ten's going to win. So it'll be a great game.
So I like it how you guys just adopt teams. It's easy adoption.
Yes.
Whole
yes.
They got some kind of connection.
Yes.
The Big Ten team this yes. weekend.
Yes. So, All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Coach.
All right.
That interview is brought to you by our new friends over at Lightboxer. Lightboxer hacks your brain so that you can exercise harder and longer. It's an immersive workout. They delivered one to the office. It is sick. It fuses high-intensity boxing with music and gaming. The result is a more effective workout that you look forward to again and again. It's awesome. What it is, it's like a stand that you set up, and it's got these targets that you punch. It tells you which ones to punch, like a boxing workout, almost like a dance revolution for your fists. It's got intelligent tech. It syncs lights, music, and tempo to challenge, quantify, and motivate you. You have 6 targets, 200-plus LED lights, and 4 sensors that detect and track your every move. You get real-time stats. You can track your progress with your performance dashboard. Spar elite boxing trainers with a range of session length, intensity, and music genres. Lightboxer acts as a virtual extension of the trainer with choreographed punch tracks synced to the trainer's callouts and the songs you love. Content never gets old. You got new classes dropping daily. If you want to change it up, you can challenge yourself or friends to a quick play song of your choice with Lightboxer's always growing library of the latest charting music. Release the champ as you climb leaderboards and score new PRs. So if you've ever put on a pair of gloves or not, Lightboxer is the best workout you can get at home. Go to lightboxer.com/take. Lightboxer.com/take. That's LITEBOXER.com/take. And get $100 off of your purchase.
All right, let's wrap it up. Firefest of the week. Hank, your Firefest, please.
Our last one's pretty serious. It's been a tough day, I guess, trying to deal with it. My emotions, everything that's going on. But Chrissy Teigen deleted her Twitter.
Yeah. RIP to a real one.
Fuck.
It's too bad.
Damn.
Celebs.
Basically the reason I joined Twitter.
Yeah, same.
It's given me life.
Mm-hmm.
So many times. Tweet after tweet. I printed some out. I've got some hung up in my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
You're Teiganiac.
And I just don't know what I'm going to do without her.
Yeah, no, that's hard. What was the breaking point for her?
I don't know.
I think she had a bunch of old tweets that seemed like she was a pedophile.
Yeah, people thought that she was eating babies. Yeah, that seemed like... Well, as soon as the internet decides that you're like part of a Hollywood baby-eating cult, it's probably a good time to be like, all right, you know what? I got enough money. I don't have to be on Twitter.
Yeah, she used to live tweet. She used to live tweet toddlers and tiaras.
Ah.
And then those out of context didn't look great.
There's been a record number of people accused of eating babies this year.
Yeah.
It's a big year.
It also makes...
Besides the Jonathan Swift modest proposal year, this has got to be like... We've set world records for accusing people of just snacking on infants.
I also just... all the people who spend their entire time online trying to uncover big like pedophile rings and baby-eating cults, I feel like they're eating babies.
It's a strange accusation to make.
Yeah,
to
like, if you're like, hey, you're a baby eater, it's like, you're a baby eater, dude. I've never thought about eating a baby.
Jumping straight into baby eating,
yes.
It's like... Let's start with just smelling babies.
Right.
Your baby smeller.
Methinks the lady doth protest too much when you accuse others of eating babies online.
I also have a guess.
It would be hilarious if she, like, that really...
Yeah.
It would be hilarious if Chrissy Teigen had any sense of the moment, she would have been like, I'm leaving Twitter for good to focus on my life's work, eating babies.
She makes a cake, and it's just, you know, those extremely realistic cakes? Just a baby. Slices into
it. Like, this has just been too... It's been sidetracking what I'm really passionate about, and that is harvesting young children's blood.
Sticking a straw into a baby like a Capri Sun.
Oh, Jesus.
I also have a gas leak in my apartment, so...
Oh.
Oh.
Yikes. From your ass?
That's good. That's tough, Hank. Like,
that
seriously?
Sucks.
You're...
I don't know. I called it in this morning. I waited all morning and then showed up.
You called
apartment.
It in?
Well, I called my building.
Karen
was
move.
Like,
it's a big time.
You guys check out if my apartment's going to blow up. They didn't show up before I left. I think they're hopefully going to have gone, you know, by the time I get home. We'll see. So maybe I'll blow up tonight. Who knows?
Well,
if I do,
God
I just want
to be fucking hilarious
record.
If
God
Hank
forbid.
Blew up tonight
God
after
forbid.
Saying that.
Yeah.
Well, Hank, right. Make sure to put the podcast out before you get home.
Mm-hmm. Please.
Okay. Is it up yet?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that it?
Yep.
My Fire Festival.
I would imagine, hold on, one last thing on Hank blowing up. Imagine like it's like Hank blows up and there's just a big rubble, and then they find him because Normie's dick is sticking out of the rubble, and then they get them both and they both survive.
That'd be sweet.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would.
My Fire Fest of the week is I learned more about my elevator fiasco, and it's a lot worse than I initially thought. So they're going to be replacing. I think I said they were going to be replacing it for the next like couple days.
Yeah, it takes a while.
Apparently, it could take months mm-hmm. to replace my elevator, which is complete bullshit. Now I'm like anti-elevator entirely. I'd like to see more apartment complexes that have. What about escalators? Why don't we have escalators instead of staircases in apartment buildings? That to me seems like a much more functional alternative.
That takes up a lot of space.
Same amount as the stairs. I've got stairs.
No, no.
Escalators and stairs?
No.
They're about the same size.
Think about a shaft, like a up and down.
No, I'm talking about stairs. Escalators.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
But do you know, like, visualize an escalator.
Okay.
And now visualize this, like, it's a staircase that winds around and goes up. That takes up far less space than an escalator that has to go straight up.
No, like in movie theaters, you go up and then you get on the next one and it goes up and then you're...
That takes up way more space than a single shaft, like, stairs.
And no, I'm saying...
Are we having the same conversation?
No, no, I'm a single shaft of stairs. I don't know if your stairs... Do you live in, like, at the top of a castle where...
No, but most staircases...
A lady with long hair is in a spiral?
What are you talking about? Most staircases have, like, you go up, like, six steps and yep. you turn the corner, you go up six steps.
That's what I want, except I want the stairs to move.
Yeah, I think that would take up way too much space.
I don't know. But the bottom line is my escalating situation is going to be... awful for the next couple months. Am I allowed to just like tell my landlord that I'm not moving out?
Just don't pay your rent.
Like I'm not paying rent and I'm not moving out. I don't want to move out on stairs.
Yeah, just don't pay your rent.
All right, we're going on a rent strike, fellas.
There we go.
Until Hank's gas leak gets fixed.
Or he blows up.
Or he blows up and until... Well,
technically that would fix it.
Yeah, well, you know my family has a bad history with elevators.
That's true.
My great-grandfather, yes. RIP, had an elevator land on his head, died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's scary. Right,
like it runs in my family.
Yes, absolutely. All right, my Fire Fest is it just sweatshirt weather's over and it's fucking snuck up on me. Was not ready for that.
You still do sweatshirts and shorts?
No, it's gonna be 90 tomorrow.
Until it's gonna be 90.
No, 80. What? Sorry, 80. It's gonna be 80 tomorrow. 80 tomorrow
in New York,
and I have to wear a t-shirt, and I am not in t-shirt shape.
That's crazy.
Yeah, see, it came too fast.
Yeah,
I thought I would have all of April to maybe lose a few pounds. Turns out I don't. Also, the Suez Canal shit is funny.
It's very funny.
That's the ultimate fire fest.
Imagine being the captain of that ship right now. Like, you've got to be like, this is an all-time fuck.
I still don't know how they just don't push it.
So
it's in water.
So I have a couple ideas on how to fix it. One would be you just like cowboys, you wrangle up a bunch of whales that are in the ocean, and then you steer all the whales into the canal and just make all the whales run into the ship
mm-hmm.
and get like 20 whales hitting the ship at once to dislodge it. I feel like that's a foolproof plan. Eventually, they're just going to have to blow it up. Eventually, someone's just going to launch a missile at it.
You have to take it apart piece by piece.
Yeah, I mean, you think it's shutting down like 10% of the world's seafaring trade right now.
Yeah.
They're going to drop a bomb on it if it's not fixed within a week. That's my prediction.
I can't believe it's not out already. It's crazy. Billy, I'm
it's
sure
it's actually like terrible.
Yeah.
Especially for vaccine distribution to Southeast Asia.
Oh, damn.
Billy, yeah. You were getting pretty woke on it earlier.
If you wanted to fuck up oil prices and all sorts of stuff, you'd pull a little prank like that.
A prank?
Yeah.
Just a prank?
Little thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's. I thought they were just going to, it was just going to be fixed. I thought it was one of those funny things like, haha, boat got stuck. Everyone tweets the same Austin Powers gif. And then 24 hours later, like, boat's free.
I just think
good
it's,
to go.
I just think it's interesting that this hasn't happened, like, multiple times every single day.
Right.
Like, a boat going sideways. Feels like our one flaw in designing this very important canal is that if a boat steers to the left, then vaccines don't reach India for 3 months.
Yeah, just mm-hmm. make it bigger. Can't we just make that shit bigger?
Make it bigger. Make it deeper. What if they pour
wider.
More... What if they pour more water into it? And then that lifts the boat
refloat
up.
Refloat it.
And it gets further up.
Just leave a garden hose running?
Yeah, just everybody in Egypt, go to the Suez Canal and take a piss in it.
Sit and wait and hope it can be towed. I'm reading an article about it now.
It's called the type of cargo ship it is, the Suez Max. So it's the largest boat.
Empire State Building is how big it is.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's a
huge pretty big
boat.
Canal.
Huge
yeah.
boat. Billy?
I've had a pretty good week. I have a little bit of a allergy cough, but besides that,
oh,
doing
is it
great.
Allergies?
Yeah.
Nothing else?
I got antibodies.
That's true.
Sounds like you're really prepared for your fire fest this week.
Antibodies. Crew, what's up?
Well, I was trying to think about it, but I was
your
like,
car smells. That's your fire.
Yeah,
fest.
My car does smell.
Really drove me in today in his car.
I still can't really smell out my nose.
Okay, that's also.
Yeah.
But that's the deviated septum.
Buckled.
Buckled septum. Did you see Jose Canseco's shoulder?
Yeah, that whole thing, it's just getting weird.
It's almost like he took a dive.
It's just, now I have to fight again.
Oh, you want to fight Jose again?
No, not him. I'm not going to fight him.
Who are you going to fight?
Because he's got two reconstructed shoulders by
should
the time.
Fight him again and just make him say that, like, don't give him any money unless he wins. Fight him again. Don't even put it as the main event. Put it in the middle of the card. Yeah, just kick
his ass.
He's
not fit to fight at all.
Well, that's you beat him up so bad. Yeah,
no, like even before that.
I mean, you fucked him up.
And now I have these legal hands that aren't even that good that your are going to get me in trouble.
Billy's probably going to go to jail and sit in the electric chair because he gets into a fight.
Yeah.
You think that your life is like, in your head, you're Nicolas Cage from Con Air.
Oh, 100%.
Where it's like you're gonna defend a woman's honor in a bar fight and then be wrongfully put in jail for like 10 years and then have to take over a plane and land it in Las Vegas.
Yeah, because of a professional boxing match I did when I was 21.
Yeah, against Jose Canseco, who took a dive,
Jake, you want to end it with a fire fest?
Yeah, so obviously we came back from Chicago earlier this week. We got a bunch of gear. PFT was generous enough to make the This Is Marsh gear and the orange sweatshirts for Team Orange, and I tried stuffing them all in my luggage and my zipper broke.
Oh, that's tough. Dude.
I got a bag if you need one.
That's brutal.
Yeah.
That is brutal.
So you're going to have to travel again with a broken zipper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or go get a new one tomorrow. We'll see.
Anything good happened this week?
Yeah.
Like what?
Syracuse made the Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm.
Got to interview Buddy Boeheim. It was a lot of fun.
Anything else?
How are you feeling just about just your health?
Traveling.
Is your health cool?
With COVID pandemic?
Stop.
Okay, all right. Here we go. Numbers.
30.
8.
18.
82.
32.
8 is due.
Certain fish eggs can travel through ducks' digestive systems, and that 84. Is how fish get to different ponds that are isolated, 84. Like in a golf course.
Love you guys.
Talking away, so I don't know what I'm to say. I'll say it anyway. Today's another day to find you shining away. Oh, I'll be coming for your love, okay? Shining away. Oh, I'll be coming for your love, okay? Take on me.
Shine away.